Hey, y'all. Welcome to our podcast pre-show. I got to call up my man, Adam, and get this board. I'm telling you, I'm starting to, you know. So I did some announcements for the show coming up on Saturday night. I did a in-theater announcement. Actually sounded pretty good, so it can't be the board. I don't know what it is. Back home here, I don't know how much of this coming week is going to be new shows because it's going to be a fucking intensive week of rehearsal, getting up fucking early. I got another audition to do tomorrow for something due on Tuesday for a whole other thing. So I apologize. I just tell you that because I want you guys, you know, those of you who subscribe to the Phil Henry Show podcast, I want you to hear it from the horse's mouth, why this shit happens, you know. Believe me, man, I'm working every fucking day doing something in this here life, you know. What's that song by Young Thugs? Lifestyle? Done a lot of shit to live this here lifestyle. That's me. I don't know if it's Young Thugs. I don't know who the hell did that. To live this lifestyle. That having been said, we're back. It was fun in Nashville, and the recognition was great. And you guys know this because you've been listening to me for a long fucking time. A lot of people know the show, know the radio show, especially. When they did the little introductory film that Patrick Reynolds put together. Thank you, Pat. They featured Henry Rollins. And one of the things that I love about Henry Rollins is that besides being a great artist himself, he likes the show better now than the old call-in show, which everybody loves the call-in show, including me. And I'm sure that Henry likes it. But he likes the creativity involved in the show better now. And he mentioned that during the introductory thing, man. So thank you, Henry, for that, because, you know, I mean, it's a different thing, the panel show. There's no call-in radio left. And one of the reasons why there's no call-in radio left, you realize, is because of us, because of this show. Nobody dare do a so-called call-in show without really extensive, heavy screening to make sure you're not getting some guy like Phil Henry calling and fucking with you. That's what we did. I think what we essentially did is help hasten the end of talk radio as we knew it. Nobody brought that up, but I don't think anybody would have really wanted to bring that up. I think I should have said that, but I really actually spent my time on the, giving my remarks. I spent my time, other than saying, hey, it's great to be here, and you need Don Julio tequila in the bar over there, and Mary, you took 10 minutes. We were only supposed to take 5. I was just doing those jokes. But I spent the rest of the time thanking people. And I thanked, besides thanking Don Olander and Pam Olander, who are my dear friends here from California who were there, who came out, I thanked Jackie, who was there. I thanked David Katz, who was my agent for all those years in radio. But I also thanked Rich Galano, who was my first talk radio program director, the guy who told me, just prep your show as if you're not going to get one phone call. I thank Jim Ashbury, who was my program director in Atlanta and then again in Minneapolis, WSB and WCCO. I thank Bob Green, my general manager in Miami, who was the only GM that ever actually sat down and show prepped with me. I thanked David G. Hall, who is one of the single most brilliant program director I ever worked for in terms of his knowledge of formatics, methodology, and how to make a talk show work. And then I thanked Craig Kitchen, my boss at Premier Radio. And then I thanked also Andy Kalb, was my producer at Miami. I thanked him at WIOD. And I thanked Jonah Weiland, my producer at KFI, who's now directing this one-man show I'm doing. I said, and I mean this, there's only one reason why anybody would get up and talk about getting an award, and that's to thank people who helped get you there, you know. Anyway, I got the air conditioner on in case you're hearing the noise. What are we talking about here, man? What's the date? 23rd? This here lifestyle. 23rd, right? Tom Dovka, David G. Hall, and Don Berman all gang up on Phil. This ought to be perfect. This ought to be perfect, baby. And then we have, for the classic. Yeah, so it was a good trip to Nashville, you know, and the Omni's okay, but just okay. It's a beautiful hotel. Great for a function, for a formal function like this. In terms of the actual hotel, the bellmen were great guys. Everybody was cordial and nice. It's just the hotel itself leaves something to be desired. From the housekeeping to the fucking door slamming that goes on, you know, I don't know who designed the goddamn hotel, but usually you have something that cushions the slamming of doors in hotels. Interestingly, you go down to their coffee bar. In California, you give them a card and they give the tip and you push a button, you're done. In Nashville, they need for you to sign the fucking receipt. I didn't complain about that. I just found that kind of interesting. All right. The Omni, I wouldn't stay there again. Where are we at here, man? Where are we at? September 2003. Archive. So we were leaving. Everybody is all about Uber, and I can dig it. Uber's great. But I wanted to get the fuck out of there. I wanted to get the airport. Because guess what? Phil was the last guy to be leaving because I wanted to make sure I saw Jackie off. And Don and Pam had it set. They were leaving around 3 o'clock. So we all went to the airport. Nashville Airport is one terminal. One fucking terminal. Every single airline is in this one terminal. It's going to get bigger. There's no question. They're breaking at the seams right now. What did I say? It's 2003? It's going to get bigger, no question. 2003, bitch. But in the meantime, it made it very convenient because when we got to the airport, Don and Pam, they go through TSA. I went, I checked my fucking bag because the Delta counter was right there. Jackie, I was going to walk her over. She goes through. And so I then walked Don and Pam over to their gate. Jackie and I hang out. I think we got some coffee. Then I walk her over to her gate. And then Phil's the last guy. And I take off and head toward my gate. And I had 3 fucking hours to kill. Because that's just the kind of guy that I am. You know, I make sure that everybody's comfortable. Everybody got on the plane. I am. I mean, that's just the guy that I am. It's the way I am. Ted Bell says women antagonizing men might bring consequences because he threw a cigarette butt out of his car and a woman threw it back in. Oh, what a dickhead. Ted, you are a piece of shit. You really are. Ted, you are a piece of shit. You really are. I'm Bob Bosco. Great steakhouse in the Omni, though. Great steakhouse. I don't know the name of it, but the steakhouse in the Omni is fucking great. And when everybody got there on Wednesday night, we got there Wednesday night. And, of course, we're all happy to see each other. So me and Don, Pam, Jackie, David Katz, my agent, and a few other people popped by. We went into the little bar downstairs and just had a good time, you know, where you're getting together with people for the first time. But I'm fucking dead tired. Then we went over and had steaks. Swordfish. I had, what the hell did I have? Oh, salmon. Damn good salmon. They have another restaurant there in the Omni called Barlene's. Not Erlene. Not Charlene. Barlene. Good drinks. You know what they got in Tennessee, which you might imagine? They got goddamn good. The food's, you know, it's okay. I mean, they got great fucking bourbon and whiskey. As you might well imagine, they do. So even Jackie got into the swing of it. Let me see here. All right, man. That's all I have to report. There ain't no more. That's it from Phil Central here in the El Pacifico. You know, we have so much to offer at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show Backstage Pass website. Let me do it again.